Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I have with me today our hosts, Jeff Odell and Wayne Johnson, and our sometime hosts, often guests. I saw a write-up today on Ron that I thought was quite cool. Said presidentialist. I think that was
presidentialist.
I like that.
But Adam Lepa's name, mean I like that word.
that's a cute word. Yeah, that's perfect.
Assignment is with us today too. It is our first show of the new year, and it is the Roaring Twenties. It started out with a real dang doodle, and geez, that's a nice description. Basically, I suppose the best thing we can start with is happy and healthy new year to everybody, and
I think health above everything. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that every one of us, we were just talking about it, almost every one of us is sending our best wishes to Representative John Lewis, that he makes a recovery, goes into remission, and does his best with the diagnosis he got. And because we need especially the Black Caucus.
And he's such a hearty icon of the civil rights era and beyond.
Absolutely.
He's an immense man.
Yeah,
he's the last survivor of the Martin Luther King period, really.
Isn't that something?
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew Young
yeah.
is still around, but he's still around. But I think that's about it. Not too many others.
That's
yeah.
it, yeah.
Well, Jesse Jackson is still around, too.
Jesse Jackson, that's right. Yeah. We haven't heard much of him lately, though, because
he's
getting on in years. He's not in office, yeah.
Yeah, well, after his son pulled the trick he did in Chicago, I guess he's taken a back seat to a lot of things because that's hard to pull back from. But
sure.
The end of the year was quite a whiz bang. I would like to first of all send my I think we'd all probably like to send our best wishes and our high hopes to the families who are suffering in Canada and Ukraine. From the plane going down. Interesting to note, there are many people gathering in the streets of Iran again to protest that, as they were in the streets to protest our assassination of their number one chief terrorist strategist.
Right.
We all know he was a bad guy, but it was an act of war in Iraq and on Iraqi soil, and 26 other people died for it.
Yeah.
Other than him, and we don't own Iraq. And if they tell us to get out, we need to get out. And I'll leave it there. You know, I don't know what you gentlemen are thinking, but.
Well, we've had our noses in other people's business for decades, and it's way too long, and it's you know, we got to start acting more civilized, like a civilized nation does, instead of poking our nose where it doesn't belong all the time.
Well, the thing is to assassinate, and that's what it was, a called-out assassination on an Iranian leader, which is just something that Putin would have done. I mean, that's what this guy in the office is a thug now, just as Putin, where if he decides he doesn't want to like somebody, or if he thinks that it'll benefit him politically because of his own corruption is being exposed, you know, it, basically he did that to take the heat off of himself in the intentional way of his own corruption. And, right.
But can I say this? Can I just put this on the table? And anybody realizes this. Putin is not such an idiot as to throw a missile strike in on another country. He sends people in with nerve gas or with an umbrella filled with a poison, a irradiated poison. He does it in Cold War terms.
Yes, I think this shows the drone issue shows that this could become a problem for our leaders. They could be hit by a drone as well. It can do tit for tat. That's the problem with this.
Exactly,
well,
Professor.
Well, and what he's done is he's touched off a series of national nerve wrangling over there, from Yemen to Saudi to, and Israel is sitting right there on the edge of all of it. And any wrong move at any wrong moment right now, and there could be, it doesn't matter how many of our troops are there, they could be at each other. Iraq could suffer an incursion from Iran. there could be Russian bolstering of troops coming out of Syria. I mean,
correct. He allowed Russian troops in Syria. Nixon wouldn't have allowed it. He was ready to go to war, nuclear war in 1973.
Right.
And Russians didn't send troops, and Reagan would be turning over in his grave, you could be sure.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, too, folks. It's been used in many times. Great Chinese general named Sun Tzu, S-U-N, last name Z-U.
We all know.
The art of war. And what it is, and here's what they're going to do, is keep hitting them where they're the softest. Keep hitting them where they're the weakest. You might have a mighty army at this base here, but you hit the soft targets. That's what
yes.
we're going to be exposed to,
you know
this
what?
Type of
you
warfare.
Know what? This kind of bullshit has to stop. It just has to stop. The world right now, do you know what percentage of this world is actually literally on fire? Do you look at
particularly Australia, yes.
Australia.
The weather that is going on in this country alone right now?
Yeah, West Coast, California, West Coast.
Anybody get it that shit like The Art of War is a book that belongs in the middle of Australia right now, getting burned down? Because this isn't working. This patriarchal crap has brought us to the edge of extinction, and men like Trump and Putin and a slew of others sitting in the catbird seats in different countries are doing this, perpetuating this, and people are suffering, and the planet is suffering, and the planet is speaking back with volcanoes coming up from under the ocean and earthquakes happening everywhere.
Again, in Puerto Rico, a few earthquakes after they had the hurricane, and he's not doing anything about it, Trump, as if Puerto Rico is not part of the United States.
Yeah, I'm about
he doesn't care in the least about Puerto Rico.
In general, I mean,
we'll give
just,
him paper towels, though, won't he?
We don't need more men at the helm right now, gentlemen. In my opinion, we just don't need it. We don't need warmongers, and there's a lot of women who are too. We do not need that. What we need is healing, and what we need is people getting in and getting health care. We need people not just with health care, but income equality. We need folks that can make a living. They say, oh, there's only 3% unemployment. You know why? And I know why. Because people are working 2, 3, and 4 jobs at a time to keep a family running.
Exactly. We need wages to go way up.
Well, the thing is, too, Gwen, look at the demographic changes. Used to be at McDonald's, it was late teens, still in high school, maybe early 20s. And now you look at today, it's people who should be retired in their 70s.
They have to work.
Coming up to you saying, well, would you like fries with that cheeseburger?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
That's the economic enslavement atrocity.
Yeah.
Locally down here in Florida, in Publix, the people I deal with, the women, are in their mid to late 70s, and they're checking you out for your food. And maybe they like working, but I have a feeling it's not just liking. I think they have to, probably.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly, right. This is economic enslavement that we've reached this level.
People, you know, you'll work your whole life to reach that magic age of retirement, and when people can't do it anymore, they're being robbed of something valuable that we've fought for and worked for years and years and years. There's no need for it.
In the meantime, our money is being squandered over to a Department of Defense that at this point looks so GD incompetent, I can't believe it. I simply can't believe the incompetence of the people in Washington at this moment. And explain to me, we can't explain the absolute lunacy of the Republican Party at this point in Washington.
Well, Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham both have to go as fast as possible and by any means necessary almost. They're pathetic, both of them, and they're so self-serving for the wealthy, and they don't have the time of day for anybody else. All they give a shit about is their Republicans and their conservatives, whatever the hell that means nowadays. It's insane.
Well, you know what? Nobody, the only, we need inspiration. We really, truly need inspiration. We don't need compromise. We don't need somebody going in and say, oh, well, we're going to try and work with these guys. That's what happened to Obama. He compromised with bankers. And
we,
need a Bobby Kennedy
of our time. That's what we need.
Well, I think there's people out there who could fulfill that. I'm a progressive. I'm for the progressive candidates who talk about a complete system shift. And they're correct. And most of the people who are listening to them are listening hard. Who's number one in the caucuses in Ohio? Iowa today. Bernie Sanders, and then Elizabeth Warren, then Pete Buttigieg.
Right.
You know, I mean, people are listening to inspiration. They're listening to, we need to change this, and we really do, because my nephew's children won't even have a chance to get into their teens, because the grandchildren of people from my era are just, and who's doing the hold up on all of this? Who's, you know, all of these outdated, absolutely useless, unworkable policies of making deals with corporations and yada, yada. This is boomers seeing sanity in this. This is people listening to Stumblebum Joe. I don't need to be so nasty about him, but really, come on.
He's got to be more original. And, you know, he is, we've discussed it. I do believe he is a little too old.
Well, so is Bloomberg and Sanders, if you go by age.
Yeah, that is true. We've got
a bumper
crop of old guys running.
I want to bring up the question of Bloomberg saying if he's not nominated, he'll give as much money to help the candidate, even if it's Bernie Sanders, just to make sure Trump is defeated. What do you think about that? I think that's quite something.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll wait to see it happen, people. I'll wait to see it happen. I don't believe...
If it does happen, would Bernie or Elizabeth accept this if they're against corporate involvement? That's the thing that makes me wonder. They would say, no, we don't want your help. I would think they would have to accept it, wouldn't they?
Well, you would think so.
No, they don't. They really
don't.
Well,
if Trump goes in there with billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're left standing with $100,000 in the bank, bet they've got to do something.
And as Bloomberg said, he's willing to spend most of his fortune just to see Trump out.
This is the mindset that has elected these people in the past.
Well, I don't have that mindset. I've never elected idiots, you know. I've been opposed to him. I've been fighting for him against him for years.
Somehow I didn't know that, Jack.
Yeah.
I did know it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Progressives have stated it's a grassroots effort, and they're sticking by it for a reason. Why? Citizens United. That's one of the biggest reasons for it. They are making a statement. They are inspiring us to change. And I don't think for a minute they would take Bloomberg money. Bloomberg might put up his own commercials. He might say,
he would
vote for this idiot.
He might do that,
but I do not think for a moment that either Sanders or Warren would take money from a billionaire or what have you. And that's another thing. You got Tom Steyer's, who's got less than our senator from Minnesota who's running in percentage
popularity.
Popularity.
Yeah.
and he's buying his way onto the stage. There's something awfully wrong with that gentleman.
He's also second in South Carolina and Nevada in the polls.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
He's only got $1.6 billion, though, not $53 billion.
Right, exactly.
He's actually
yeah.
a poor billionaire.
Yeah. Yeah, if there is such a thing, you're right.
I'd settle being $1.6 billion. I'd give most of it away.
Yeah, me too, man. We're of like mind.
Yeah. Let me keep a half a billion for myself. I'm kidding.
There you go. Well, you know,
no, I wouldn't even want that much.
How much is too much? You got to ask that question, yeah. And nobody seems to do that anymore.
Well, yeah. But Elizabeth Warren has said, "How much is too much?" She says,
"Well, absolutely, yeah, and she's outlined policies."
$0.02 out of every dollar past 50 million should go back to the country, and she's right.
Yeah.
I was brought up by Republicans who taught me that I had to give back to my community because my community made sure I had the privileges I did.
Well, that was in the days of moderate Republicans, and they no longer exist. They've been perverted by Trumpism and before that, Cheneyism and all that nonsense, you know.
Yeah, I wrote about progressive Republicans in the New Deal era. They really, from the dinosaur past.
Yeah.
They are, you're right.
I'm talking about Ike Republicans, and beyond Ike, I just don't see it. Nixon was he was the neocon specialist. He opened the door to it, and LBJ pulled some real nice trickery, and the Dixiecrats became Republicans, and we did get civil rights passed, but those civil rights were not complete or full. Even so, it put
no,
all
but
of
they were
those...
pretty revolutionary when they were passed, and they're still good hallmarks to strive for, I believe.
To work on, but I will remind you that I'm a woman. I still don't have equal rights amendment.
I know that's a real tragedy, and you know we put it to a vote in a number of states a couple of decades ago, and I can't believe that it failed.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I heard that Utah was about to vote on it, and it would be supposedly the 38th state, but they say they stopped counting after 1982, so they don't know if it could just be considered or you'd have to start over from ground zero. I was surprised to even hear that there could be a 38th state that had at some point had voted for it. But
well,
I know
the
Seventh Amendment from 1792 finally was added to the Constitution like a decade ago, so I think it could be added.
Yeah, I would imagine. But it's the fact that we even have to discuss it at all is insane. For Christ's sakes, women are more than 51% of the population, and they're treated like they're 1%. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to work it out that way again. But I will say this. For every Republican, registered Republican in this country, there is 2.3 registered Democrats. What's wrong with those numbers in the elections has been that Democrats don't get up off their ass and vote.
Yeah, they're lazy about that.
In 2018, they did, and they roused new registered voters. The new registration for voters is
great.
Overwhelmingly Democrat. There's a lot of independents, and there are a few Republicans, too.
And a lot of progressives. A lot of progressive voices became known. That's great. So we got to keep that trend going.
There are 16 people trying to run against AOC for her seat in New York. I don't think they have a chance in hell.
No, no. She's proved very popular.
Well, and she's smart.
Yes, she is.
And she's eloquent. And she's dedicated and committed. And she knows what she's talking about. She doesn't open her mouth and let the words hang in the air at all.
Right, good point.
Her, she does her homework.
She does.
Which you can't say about a lot of people in Washington. They don't do their homework. They listen to lobbyists, give them talking points.
Well,
wow, dead air, guys.
That's a damnation of our country's politics at this point in time. It's really terrible that lobbyists hold so much sway, but they do. Money talks and bullshit walks in Washington, that's for damn sure. And we're getting a lot of money input from moneyed sources that have nothing to do with what the public really needs. And that's a crime. And that's why we're on the air every Sunday.
That's
I'm scared to death. cognitive dissonance going on with Donald Trump. He's getting worse every week in what he has
yeah.
to say and how he acts. Unbelievable, you know?
The slurring alone gives you pause. But I got to say one thing, Jack. Not all the lobbyists that are in D.C. are bad. You've got you've got lobbyists there for some very, very – Planned Parenthood has lobbyists.
Well, my son is a Conservation Lands Foundation lobbyist. That's his job.
Yeah. So it's not all lobbyists. We're talking about the Republican-led think tank, large corporation lobbyists who want certain things done in order to profit by them.
Sure, the Brookings Institute and people like that.
Yeah, or the Koch brothers have several different lobbies.
One of the Koch brothers died.
One Koch brother, yeah.
Nobody mourned it.
Oh, he died?
One of them did, yes.
One of them did, yeah.
That's why they were so silent. Which one was it, David or the other guy?
I think it was David.
I have to look it up. I'm not sure. I think it's David Koch, I think. We'll look it up, though.
David Koch. But
well, they
does
were
it really matter which?
They were really a bad influence for years and years and years.
They
wanted to
have them down to one now.
From the New Deal on.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if you remember,
Charles Koch died. Not David Koch. Charles Koch died.
Oh,
David
Charles
Koch is still alive. Yeah, he is now. What is he? He's now 80. Well, will be 80 this year. Yeah, but Charles Koch did pass away. Yes.
Charles Koch. Oh, he did. Yeah. What a corrupt pair of goofballs.
One thing about them, they both did a lot of giving to museums and hospitals. They did a lot of, quote, good deeds. At the same time, they did a lot of evil deeds. That's the problem.
Yes, they
were complex, like Rockefeller and Carnegie were bad characters, but they did a lot of good, too.
Isn't that amazing, how that works sometimes?
Yeah, you know what it's called, gentlemen. It's called a tax write-off. It's all tax write-offs.
That makes them famous as philanthropists forever, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it puts their name on a building that does some good for the general community. That's true.
Yeah.
Rockefellers have absolutely endless amounts of subsidies and trusts that they give out for education and for building new institutions and things like that, but the Rockefellers still are at the heart
Nelson Rockefeller in particular was originally started as a moderate Republican, and
yes,
he gradually became more conservative as time went on, which was terrible, although his giving did not reflect that. So
but conservative, not in the way that Barry Goldwater was. He was still to the left of Barry Goldwater in 64.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He was still a fairly moderate guy compared. So was George Romney, more than his son Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah.
No, my mom worked for Rockefeller. I happen to know who the guy was. And actually, he's a very nice man. But the thing of it is that a lot of – when you have all this, it's a huge thing to take care of so much money. And it's not just one person doing it. Now, you can't say that about someone like Donald Trump because, frankly, he's never really had that kind of money to toss around. And second of all, he squandered a great deal on terrible business. But for the last 30 years, what's kept his name in the public and him putting things through real estate has been the money laundering he's done for oligarchs in Russia.
Right.
And the purchasing he's made of land and properties here in this country for oligarchs in Russia.
Yeah.
And
may I just intervene for a moment to correct about the Koch brothers? Actually, David Koch passed away in August of 2019. Charles Koch is still alive. It was long. David Koch died at 79, but Charles Koch is still around, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So David's gone.
Yeah.
Well, one down.
A beautiful name like David.
One down and one to go.
My mom used to have a saying, never wait for dead man's shoes, kiddo. But she also used to say, too, that only the good die young. And you take a look around, and there are people who have such great promise and hope, and they're not with us any longer.
Yeah.
Yet yet there are so many people out there that do show great promise and hope. And from my point of view, I mean, everyone has a point of view politically, but you see the good things and the resilience and the toughness that comes from somebody like Cortez and the way that she holds her feet and the way she questions people. Same with Kamala Harris.
Gentlemen.
I am speaking about women who seem to be able to hold her feet to the fire. And welcome, I'm thinking, to Adam Lepp, who's joined us from, I've opened the mic, Adam.
Yes, Adam was requested to call the show, so I thought, why not let my vocal cords speak?
Well, welcome aboard, my friend. Welcome aboard.
Say, Adam, this is
a stranger. I just spoke to earlier.
Always a pleasure to have you,
guys,
Adam.
As you guys probably know, the professor and I will be on the air. Excuse me, I'm at the gym working out, so if I sound out of breath, it's okay. I'm just trying to increase my musculature and physical fitness. Anyway.
Well, definitely hear it.
As you folks probably know, it's about 13 minutes after 10 in the a.m. Eastern time. Ron, Dr. Feynman, joins me on WWGH Radio to talk about presidentology and politics and the goings on in the solar system and planet Earth.
Great.
Among the topics that we're going to talk about tomorrow would be the fact that there are two people that have been in politics and government for two generations or more. They really seem ageless because whenever they get a serious illness, they always recover, and they keep puttering along. Of course, that would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, and former President Jimmy the Peanut Carter.
You guys
agree with me that those two are both there? They have beaten the odds so many times with their health. You know,
They laugh
at their age, and in 50 years, they'll both still be around. I mean, they're really heroes for this generation, for next generation.
The notorious RBG,
Well, them and Keith Richards, of course.
Keith Richards is at the bar real too.
Young, I looked up, former Ambassador Andrew Young and Mayor of Atlanta, he's going to be 88 this year. And Betty White, who you know, is going to be 98 on Friday. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Oh,
must be something about Georgia. Andrew Young was the guy that served under Carter, right? I'm not doing any Googling.
Yeah.
I remember him.
And Joe Jones, the actor, is going to be 89 on Friday, the same day as Betty White is 98.
Who?
Battle of longevity.
Who?
I'm a firm believer that
the actor.
I mean, you keep working and think young. You just laugh at your age. And Betty White, she's incredible. She's done for the entertainment industry, and you can watch her on retro game shows, and she was 30, 40 years old. You know, same personality. She's still beautiful.
Something.
What is that one?
Yeah, didn't she just turn 98 or is going to be 98?
Anyway, it's going to be 98 and James Earl Jones 89, both on Friday the 17th, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, one thing we also kind of going to ponder on the show tomorrow, folks, is I kind of mentioned to Ron that, you know, arguably the two most powerful women in the United States in politics right now are Ginsburg and, of course, Nancy Pelosi. Obviously, AOC is up and
coming. Yeah, she'll be 80.
Yes, AOC is an up-and-coming person. I mean, she's too liberal for me, but she certainly is a rising star, and 30 years old, she's got a long career ahead of her. Even if she doesn't win the election, she will not. Her voice will not be going away anytime soon.
Well,
you know,
she'll definitely
be
in the sway. You're right.
Would you agree that Pelosi and Ginsburg are? Would you agree that Pelosi and Ginsburg are the most powerful women in the country right now? And who besides AOC would be in the next generation of powerful women in government?
I would
politics?
Agree. Yes.
Yeah, Pelosi's really doing the job right now.
I think that you're right. I do. I think you have a good point. But I'd also like to give a shout-out to someone who has a notable career in activism who's getting arrested every Friday, at our Friday Fire Girls. That's Jane Fonda.
She's in the 80s also. She had a book, The Rise of the Octogenarians.
She got arrested on her 86? She got arrested on her birthday. And
yeah, you
kind of
wonder. Is Jane Fonda an actress or is she a political activist? I kind of wonder exactly what that lady is.
She began as an actress but became a political activist, and thank God for that.
She's both.
I mean, I remember seeing her on TV with Ted Turner, and they broke up, and now she's going back to her political activist roots.
She's 82 now, Jane Fonda, 82, and she looks great.
Well, Adam,
I mean, what a great
actress. She's been active in her political activism, has been just a little less in front of the camera, but she has supported and started foundations all up and down the line for the last, like, 50 years.
Yes.
And I can remember the term applied Hanoi Jane.
Opposed with Viet Cong and Vietnamese soldiers, North Vietnamese, and the many military people still hate her for it, even though it's 45, almost 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Not that many. But, go ahead, Adam.
No, I mean, Ed Asner, who was on regularly with Scott Spears on my radio station, also, you know, actor, political activist, not afraid to speak forth his opinions. I mean, he's very to the left.
He's close to 90, isn't he, Ed Asner?
He is 90.
Wow.
I remember when Scott talked to him a while back, he was a socialist. And it's like, well, I think he'll bleed or certainly far to the left of mine. And I mean, maybe to the left of Gwen. But as an actor, he has no competition. I mean, Mr. Grant, one of the best TV characters ever. And he took the same character and turned and was in a dramatic series, which is
something that's commonly done. That was one of my favorite shows with Lou Grant.
Yeah, talking about age, how about Kirk Douglas is 103, and so is Olivia de Havilland, 103.
Wow.
Well, Olivia de Havilland made a deal with Faust. Who made a deal with the devil?
Gone with the Wind. The only person who acted in Gone with the Wind in 1979 was still around, you know?
My original point, guys, you think 10 years from now, when we're talking about Jimmy Carter and we're facing Pittsburgh again, and Jimmy Carter will be 105 years old, is he just ageless? I mean, do you think it's our youngest?
Adam, you're breaking up.
You sound loud and clear. Is that any better?
Much better.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention what we mentioned on the show today, that Walter Mondale, Carter's vice president, who in 92, two of them are the longest surviving presidential vice presidential team beyond their time in office, 39 years on January 20th, and they're 95 and 92. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
I don't see why Walter Mondale can't just run for president again. I'm a big fan of his. I worked on his campaign in the 80s when I was in college. I think he could just run. I mean,
Jimmy Carter was my first vote, and I'm still proud of it.
I voted for George McGovern a few years ahead of that.
I mean, the evolution that we've seen on Carter, he seems so youthful, and, you know, he aged so much in office because it was such a difficult presidency, and now he's this elder statesman, still building houses, still teaching Sunday school. he laughs at illnesses. It doesn't matter what
he's
what
an amazing,
affliction.
Amazing
he always
man.
Always recovers.
Amazing man.
And as Rod and I have talked about, he is, you know, the best former president ever. It's like he was made to be a former president.
I wanted to mention to all of you, I'm doing a lecture series at Florida Atlantic University on 8 former presidents who made a difference, and I'm doing it on Jimmy Carter as one of the 8 in April. It will probably be a big event, a lot of people will attend, because that particular lecture is going to have Nixon, Hoover, and also Carter and Clinton, the second part, and a week earlier it's going to be Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, John Quincy Adams, and Martin Van Buren. 8 former presidents made a difference.
Ron, just an idea. You should videotape that and make it available via the internet to people.
That'll be up to the university. They have control of it. Unfortunately, I can't control that.
Oh yeah, that's too bad.
Good
yeah.
idea, because yeah, you know they're going to be taping it, but I they have the rights to it, so I'm not sure. But hopefully, a lot of people will attend. Yeah.
You guys see, Obama's been fairly quiet. You see him as stepping in as an older statesman, as a former president, almost like Carter is. So maybe 10 to 20 years now, we may hear more from him. Or is he going to continue to be kind of lay low like he is now?
Oh, I think he's really going to be very active once the nominee is chosen. He'll be out there campaigning.
Whoa.
He's just waiting, not choosing sides yet,
He made one statement. He made a statement publicly last week. You guys didn't hear it? He said if there were more women in leadership roles, this stuff wouldn't be going on.
That's
what
right.
he said.
Yep.
I think there should be a woman on the ticket, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kamala Harris dropped out so early. I thought there was some.
But she could be a vice presidential choice.
Yes,
or a cabinet member.
She went broke. It's about money.
Same with Castro.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
but Castro's working with Warren now.
Yeah, that's amazing, yeah.
I guess that could be a ticket in theory. So he did endorse her.
No, that's not – he's endorsing her and he's appearing with her. He's traveling.
Yeah, he's campaigning, actively campaigning with her.
Yes.
Last but not least, guys, I don't want to hog the whole show. Ron and I also touched on Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They kind of sparring a bit. And normally you would think they would get along well because they're both very far to the left. Although, as also we've addressed, Sanders is not really of the same political ilk as Warren. Warren is a capitalist, just a rather liberal one, and Sanders is a socialist, but like a little further on the spectrum. But, is that maybe the reason why that Sanders expects Warren to identify more as in that socialist vein, or is something else going on between those two?
Democratic socialist. It's hard to tell.
They seem to get along very fine with one another in public.
Well, there was a story today, though, that there was nasty comments made, against her by him or by people around him.
Well,
of course, maybe it's not true. Not everything you read is fact, as we know, except when Donald Trump tells us absolute truth, as we all know, correct?
Oh, yeah. All that guy does is lie. I've never known a single individual in my entire life that lied as much or as often or as grandiose as Donald Trump does. That guy is a consummate liar.
Adam, I have a question for you. I'd like to, because I know you're more centrist than I am and all of that, but I have a question.
I would say that would be an accurate statement. Yes.
I am. Bless your heart, honey. And here's the thing I wonder is, what do you think that the assassination with that drone was an act of war in Iraq?
I don't think so. I mean, it's how you interpret it. I think it's more exerting muscle, saying we don't want this person sharing the earth with us. Of course, you don't know what might happen after that. But, as the number one superpower, I think exerting muscle is one thing we do, and it's just how we go about doing it and whom we consult before doing it. That is, that's kind of the missing link.
We didn't consult anybody. Do we own Iraq? Is that the point? We own it? We can do what we want.
I mean, Donald, he's got a pretty big ego. And when he
thinks
like this,
positive attention.
I think he's a narcissist. He actually is very self-loathing. I think.
I mean, it's a crash. And so far, it depends how you interpret it. I mean, I listened to your interpretation in the beginning. I mean, what you're saying is correct on a basic level. But bottom line is, this guy was an enemy to the United States. But we can't just go ahead and eliminate everybody who's an enemy. That's not how. That's not how it works.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, we should get rid of Kim Jong-un first.
That's probably not going to happen.
I do think, though, that now others could say that they could use drones on our leaders And really, number two guy was like a Pence or a Pompeo. I think it puts them in a target, really, unfortunately.
I see it more exerting muscle and possibly a warning, but it's how that's manifested. That's where the controversy comes in. And it there's so many ironies, again, because no one in the United States is going to say that this is the person that we like. But again.
No.
But Nikki Haley seemed to say that, as I pointed out in your show, and she hasn't backed off, and I think that's a mistake on her part to be critical that way. That's my thought, but you're more supportive of Nikki.
Some things with Haley, I mean, she certainly is quite a bit to the left of a lot of the Republicans. She seems to be moving more to the right, and I think she needs to show that she still is a Republican. She's not independent like I am. You know, she's not one of those liberal Republicans like John Anderson or William Weld to an extent. That she still is a Republican. She may not have all the beliefs that are consistent with the party. But when it comes to a major issue like this, she does have to kind of march in step. And that's kind of how I see it. And
yeah, but then Rand Paul and Mike Lee were very upset, as you saw. You know, and they're both.
I mean, she will lose some of the. You know, she'll lose people like Ron, as you know, you're somewhat of a supporter. I mean, we admire her. You know, being a female has accomplished a lot in politics, but.
Yeah.
Her viewpoints certainly are distancing you from her, and that's the price you pay in politics. I mean, it's kind of that cousin of politics makes strange bedfellows. I mean, it goes both ways.
Well, I'll just say,
and
Adam,
she's in a difficult situation. I mean, you know, we're not gonna doubt that she's well spoken, very smart. You know, not bad looking.
Yeah,
a rising star, and she has to kind of weigh the pros and cons of all of her decisions. This was a difficult one she had to make. You know, I feel for her because I know she's hurting a bit inside, but. What are you going to do? That's politics.
It's not always
pretty.
I was going to say, let me interject here. You know, you made a statement there that, you know, she's not following the party line. Well, you know, I myself and George Will, you know, we make the statement. I gave up my Republican party affiliation, which I had been very involved with here in Maryland, because I didn't leave the party. The party left me. When you start interning and kind of concentration camps there along the border, when you come out with economic fallacies that destroy the working middle class, these are not standards that I can support, have my name associated with anymore.
Well, you know, I've been independent for a long time, and, you know, I have far left beliefs, like my pro-choice belief, and I have far right beliefs. And some that are, I see as being nonpartisan. The death penalty, for example, I see as a nonpartisan issue. So,
thing I'm interjecting here is you can't paint with a broad brush. If you are, you know, of this party, then you have to have all of these beliefs and, you know, sign on to them.
We're so inclined to do that, aren't we?
That's right. It's not a broad brush.
I mean,
for a
national officer, for governor, you do. But, you know, mayor of a small city or city council, you can be independent or an alternative party. Or say you're one party, but really be a centrist. You know, a lot of, you know, smaller city mayors are often like that. They have to pick a party because of funding, but their beliefs could be almost anywhere. Plus, their major interest is with the city. Yes, they're concerned about immigration and health care and national issues, but they're also concerned about the crime in their own city and jobs, things that affect their taxpayers that pay their salary directly.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, if we didn't get you on the show, what about Texas's Governor Abbott not allowing any more refugees in Texas? And most other states are allowing it to be to come in.
Let's not start World War IV, guys. I'm sure you know how I feel. That's all I have to say. There are things that we agree on and things we don't agree on. Let's not start World War IV because we're getting along so well. That probably answers your question.
Thanks for calling in, though.
We are grown adults, and we don't have to agree. We can shake hands and still say we're friends. And
there you go.
Yes. We can act like mature adults, and Donald, if you're listening, take that advice, because it really does work.
Yeah, and Adam, I hope you'll call in again and take part. It's nice to hear from you.
Oh, it is a pleasure to hear your voice, Wade, and Gwen, and, of course, Ron, and I'm sure you'll be hearing my dulcet tones again soon. And Jack, yes.
Very good, my friend. Yeah, thank you.
Don't know you as well, Jack, but it's a pleasure to share the airways with you, and you guys have a great day.
And you too, my friend. Have a great week now.
Thanks. Stay safe.
Keep pushing forward.
All right, thanks. See you later.
Bye. See you later.
Bye.
Well, and
yeah, I think
that
the thing with Texas is just terrible, you know?
And that was Adam Lepp, who himself has his own show on 107.1 FM in Ohio. It's WWGH, the channel. And Ron does quite a few shows.
Yeah, every week I speak to him. And also the Scott Spears a number of times as well. Yeah,
great.
I say though, I really feel Texas has an obligation to accept refugees. Most states are accepting them. The government wants them to because they have to have a place to stay. But Texas is playing hard line, and their newspaper editorials are condemning Governor Greg Abbott.
As well, they should.
Well,
especially Texas is such a gigantic state.
And setting up all those concentration camps for little children.
Country.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
Pretty awful. It really
is. Yeah, I was
going to
say, I have much, much higher moral values.
Anti-American.
Than the Republicans that are going along with Trump and this administration.
Oh, yeah.
Enabling and enacting the policies that this, which are atrocities. Let's just call them a few.
They are. Good point.
They are atrocities to the human race.
Yep.
Yeah, and people might be surprised how Texas votes this general election. You just never know.
Well, they're going purple. That's what's said, yeah.
It's also true that by the time we have another general in 2024, the biggest voting bloc is going to be Latino. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And there are going to be three more elections for Texas. So if it goes blue, the Republicans can never win the White House again.
Right. And, you know, I believe the country is turning bluer. I really do believe that.
Well, the country actually is blue. It's just if the old boomer blue, would get off their asses and vote.
And the young ones
who will register in school but then not show up on voting day. But that did not happen 2 years ago, well, almost 2 years ago now. With 2018.
Well, with the vast influx of new women and new Latino voters, I expect the country to stay strongly blue.
Yes.
I would think so, but you never know for sure because people might, if there's voter suppression, that could be a problem because
there's
Russian or other collusion.
There's also that, and there's the cheating the Republicans do all the time. I mean,
they cheated like mad. Yeah.
They cheated when Scott went down to Broward County and stole all those votes. He cheated and took the Senate seat and the governorship for him and DeSantis.
Right.
That was illegal. Illegal. But you know what? They got judges sitting in Tallahassee. So,
they're right wing, just like the Supreme Court. Yeah. Yeah,
and
talk about that. Joe Biden has said he might ask Barack Obama to go on the Supreme Court if he's elected president. That would be fascinating if that was to happen, if Obama wanted to do it, or even his wife wanted to do it. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would be.
I think he'd make an excellent judge. I don't think that I personally, my take on it is that Obama will not support Joe Biden for candidacy.
If he's a nominee, he will.
If he's the nominee, he'd probably say, well, vote blue. But I don't think he's on the Biden cart, to tell you the truth.
There's rumors that he had told him maybe he shouldn't run. I think he thinks of his age issue, but that's the same thing with Sanders as well. So I guess even Warren is in the 70s, so he should be
voting
than Trump.
I don't,
well, if you're going to use age, you've got to go for Amy or Pete.
You keep bringing up this age stuff. And it really doesn't float. I mean, who's the guy who's going back to school next week to teach a course on presidents? And how old is that dude?
I don't have stress in my job, and it's part-time. I don't work every day. I don't have to make real decisions that affect everybody. There's a difference. You can work. But to be in the White House, I think, is even different than being on the court. I think it's different being on the court. It's not
the
level of being president.
The job that these guys have done for the last, with Elizabeth Warren, it's been the last 10 years, but for the last, and Bernie for 40 years, I mean, they are used to the stress. They are used to turning on a dime and having to caucus and go in and make decisions. They are used to, of course, Bernie doesn't get along with anybody, but he's an obstinate son of a bee. That's why I don't support him as the candidate. But if he wins the nomination, I will gladly go in and pull the lever. But I am telling you this, if Buttigieg or Biden gets it, my sister's going to have to tie me up and throw me in there and pull the lever for me. If Klobuchar gets it, I will walk in and pull the lever for her.
Oh, yeah.
But I doubt she is.
I think she has been in every county of Iowa, and nobody else has. And she's
right
next to a neighbor, and she's, I think, a dark horse. I think she could end up number one. She could.
I don't think so. She's not very inspiring at all, especially to the young.
People seem to be impressed by her the more she's campaigned. You know, she's not as dramatic as the others, but, yeah.
Well, she has a tell, too. Whenever she's searching for an answer or trying to get the point across, she does that shake. She gets that, you know, shake to her, like some people get when they're angry and they're speaking. And people have noticed it. Commentators have noticed it. But when you're one-on-one with people just doing town halls and stuff, I'm sure that doesn't happen. She's just herself with them. But she's not gathering a crowd. She is not. She has not been gathering numbers. But Buttigieg does. He gathers great numbers. So does, but you know who doesn't gather huge numbers? That's Biden. He is not getting as many people.
No, that's true.
As anybody, I mean, I think Klobuchar's getting more people.
And Marianne Williamson just withdrew not too long ago.
She went broke.
She went broke too. So.
Yeah, and Ron, when we had that little conversation online, it's true. No, I know Marianne. I've met her.
I know
twice.
You knew her, yeah.
And I've stood on the same stage with her and listened to her talk. She's done regularly. She's held the Course in Miracles line, open hotline with people on Tuesday nights forever. And she's really a very inspiring an integritous woman who's been across the world, and people don't realize she grew up in politics. Her parents were diplomats. So she walks two sides of the fence, and I can relate to it. On the one side, she's a minister.
Thank you for educating me.
Spiritual teacher. And on the other side, she's highly motivated to bring this country to an integritous and moral position in the world and to be the lamplight for the future.
Absolutely.
That's her goal. And a lady like that ought to be somewhere close to power. She really should.
Maybe she'll be a cabinet member.
Well,
there
she
we
could
go.
Be a counselor. She could be a counselor. But she certainly shouldn't be overlooked. She really has great message. It's not just not the message.
She'll soon recede into yesterday's news now that she's out of the limelight.
Full public view, yeah, but she's
right.
always very popular in my community. I mean, if she speaks, people listen. And she also had the backing of quite a few people in Hollywood, too.
Oh, that's good.
Well, it didn't get her down the road, though, did it?
No, it didn't. And, you know,
needed.
As time goes on, that will recede. There's no doubt about that. But a voice like hers is sorely needed constantly in our politics and should be a beacon of light and hope for all the rest of us to keep pushing forward.
Well, Jack, you wouldn't promote a religious man, but you're a spiritual man, and what you're talking about is the integrity and the moral compass of our people. And there just isn't enough of that, but I do see it in people like I think probably Klobuchar is extraordinarily integritous.
She's got a lot of integrity.
Stern.
Yeah.
She's probably very stern, but she comes across to me in my instinct and intuition as a very good woman.
She's a great lady.
So does Elizabeth. So did Kamala Harris. I mean,
yeah.
The majority of Democratic candidates we had this time, and so does Cory Booker, and he's not out yet. Nobody's talking about Cory.
He's he's a notable guy in many ways.
Yeah.
He's still a senator, but you know,
it's too bad he got mixed up with the president's son-in-law there, but he got out of it pretty quick too.
Yep.
But he has good intentions. He's smart. He has ideas that are good. So did Julian Castro, but you know, he wasn't getting the numbers. But now Julian said, I am not giving up on this race. I know how important it is, and I think Elizabeth Warren is the candidate. So now he's their opening act. You know, they've appeared 3 times together now.
That's right.
In as many days.
Yeah.
In as many days. So it's unusual to have, I mean, I guess we have to ask Ron, when a candidate falls to the side like that, says, you know, they're tossing in the towel, how many of them get up on stage with another candidate who's still running?
Usually once the person has been chosen, they will, but not necessarily while the battle is still on. So
that's,
I think,
true.
What Castro did coming out for Warren and going on stage with her is a little unusual. But once the nominee is chosen, usually everybody rallies around the person who got it.
That's right.
I'm sure they all will, save maybe Bernie. Bernie is always kind of a tough loser, you know.
He's a crabby. He is crabby.
He is a crab. He is, but he has excellent policy.
Yep.
You got to, you know, it kills me how many people get so involved in the politics and yet they don't go and read all the different policies. I've read Buttigieg's policies. Mm-hmm. I've read the copy and paste policies of Biden. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And
he's just trying to cash in on his past fame as the VP under Obama. And that'll get him just so far, but it won't get him the nomination.
I don't know. We don't know. We really don't know. The black
population of South Carolina probably will vote for Joe. That could have a big impact in South Carolina.
Well, they're down there talking about Bernie, too, in South Carolina. A lot of
Steyer is second
going over
Carolina.
To Bernie.
I know Tom Steyer, of all people, because he spent a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what it takes, a lot of money. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but Bernie's had a big flush of support coming out of South Carolina this last week, too. I you know, I'm just getting that from Chris Hayes, but, you know, so I'm not
sure.
I heard
that.
I'm not in South Carolina.
He has gone up. Peter's gone up from 1% to 3% among blacks, so he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
To South Carolina.
I'd say. But when people say that the elder black community or the feminine black community is going to support Biden because of his past and they trust and know him, I think that's the biggest line of hogwash we could be sold by these white spin doctors.
Well, he does enjoy a certain amount of popularity in the black community. There's no, that's undeniable.
Because of Obama,
but,
right?
They overblow that. I agree.
Because of Obama. If he wasn't going to go to Obama, he would not be even in the race, I don't think.
Oh, exactly.
Well, and
right.
Obama is not exactly. Stephen Oven said, here's my boy. Give him, you know, your all. And the other part about it is he's totally uninspiring, and he's embarrassing on stage. I mean, you know. Come on,
well, we'll
think?
See how he does Tuesday in Iowa, because he was better in the last debate than the earlier ones. This will be a real test. This also whether Warren and Sanders fight with each other this Tuesday night, because the Des Moines Register and CNN are sponsoring the
debate. I can't wait.
Yeah,
every debate, I just can't wait. And every debate reveals something, so it'll be
gentlemen,
worthwhile.
We are at the last. We're in the last minute of the show. So
oh, my
long.
Gosh. That's fun.
We went down the road. Thank you for being with us. You can find Ron online, Ronald Feynman, the progressive professor, and you can find him on Facebook, and he has his own column at the History
NewsNetwork.org, yes.
And Jack Jodell, go and check out Saturday Afternoon Post online. You can find it. Just Google it. And
we'll have
Johnson.
A new post coming up pretty soon. In the meantime, Ron, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for being here again, and let's do it again.
That's great.
And thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
Glenn. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, folks. Ron, we've been friends for a long time. This is always a truly special pleasure for me.
Yeah.
That's a very special pleasure for me as well. And adding Adam to the mix made it even better, I think, making five of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was great. Great.
Great.
Good night, all.
Gwen, thanks for everything, and everybody keep pushing forward.
Thank you, Jack. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Thank you for listening. Okay.